Scheduling a once-a-month How Goes the World session can prove very stimulating for a pastor. That's our key sentence for today, and we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, does the routine of ministry sometimes get to you?
I probably relate more to the word routine than I do to the boring world. Boring was kind of a cardinal sin when I was growing up. My mom wouldn't allow us to be bored. It's a wonderful world the Lord has made, she would tell us. And then, wouldn't you know, I married a wife who thought that boring was a terrible word as well. So I have to not identify with that one at all, just out of being able to sustain my life. But a routine, that's one that does get to you in ministry, because it seems like every couple of days is a Sunday and you have to be ready for it. So the routine is a tough one to get used to. And the answer to that is, yeah, it becomes a problem for most ministers, I think.
So what do you do to break up the routine?
I'll tell you what I've been doing lately, Dean, okay? It came out of somebody asking me after church, and again, I'm not the minister of this church. I'm a participant, and I'm someone who's there most of the Sundays unless I'm out in some other kind of an assignment. But this person said, how would you like to be in another small group? I wasn't ready for the question, but I was busy, and I thought, no, I don't want to be in another small group. We just ended a small group of which I was a part. And one of the problems was that a lot of the leadership of that small group fell on me, and it was kind of nice not to have that responsibility. And so the person said, well, what would you like? And I said, well, I don't think that I want to be in a Bible study. I'm in Scripture all the time, and that's not interesting to me. I don't think I want to be in a prayer group. You know, I pray twice a day very faithfully at length, and I have a prayer time with my wife every day, and I have a prayer group that I meet with on a once-a-month basis where we pray together for the world, and that's very stimulating. I thought, what is it that I want? I really don't want anybody to ask me that question. But then I said, you know what I would really like? I would like it if on occasion I could get together with friends and I could just talk about problems of the world, because I don't hear a lot of the things coming up in church that I would like to have discussed. And if I could just pull together a group of 10 or 12 people and we could choose the topic, that would be very stimulating to me. So the people kind of took me up on it. We had our first couple of meetings like this, and I found it to be very wonderful, Dean. I'll give you an example of one of the meetings, okay? We had, as I recall, there were 13 people there, counting myself. My wife was there, and then just groups, some singles, some married couples. And I said, what I would like to talk about this Sunday, just to get your thoughts on it, is the situation with Bruce Jenner, or as he's known now as Caitlyn Jenner, because that name has never come up in church services, but it's coming up in the news all of the time. And I would like to get your read on what is happening, just so that I can process your thoughts as I'm trying to process my thoughts. What came about was the most stimulating two-hour discussion that I have been in for a long time. I was amazed at the diversity of opinion. I was amazed at how knowledgeable these people were, much more so than I was on the topic. I was amazed that I could have, once I introduced the topic, stayed out of the conversation totally, which I almost did, except there are occasions when people say, come on, David, you're not talking. What are you thinking? And then on most of these occasions, Dean, I practice asking good questions rather than being the answer person, because I find that once I say what I think, just because of my position, a lot of times people don't talk anymore. So I was able to keep that discussion going for so long, and the people kept talking long after I, in fact, one time I even stood up and I said, I think, you know, we've been talking long enough and we're starting to recycle now on this. And no, they wanted to talk more. And the rest of the conversation was even more vital than the first part had been, because some of the people who had been holding out of the conversation, they began to talk, and they were kind of the counter thoughts in terms of the discussion. It was absolutely wonderful. What I found as the discussion went on was that in a situation where you're talking about a man who was a decathlon champion, I mean, one of the hardest of all the sports in which to participate, he won a gold medal in the World Olympics. And now as a man, and not just a man, but an older man, he decides he should change and be a woman, which is part of where our culture is. You know, it just kind of boggles your mind, and you're trying to say, what in the world is going on here? I found in the discussion that as the others talk, it was much easier to solve this problem on an individual basis, and especially regarding individuals these people knew, than it was to try to write doctrinal statements about what was going on. I learned of one setting where there is a given man in that church who has become a woman and has been accepted by the congregation, and there's been a great amount of Christian love that's been shown. And I also learned a lot about problems that came up because of what's happened. I mean, just in terms of which washroom does this person go to? And then how do you talk this through with the person? How do you be Christian regarding this person? How do you judge this given problem as compared to another problem? In the situation as we were talking, there was divorce, and that came up. Why would we say this is not right, but the other is all right? And all this wrestling, and when it was all over, it's one of those times when it's just incredibly stimulating. And I thought, man, it would have been great if when I was pastor and I had one of these sessions going on. We also had a time when we talked about ISIS. Totally different meeting. People knew ahead of time what we were going to talk about, what fears people face, what should be done about ISIS, what is the Christian response to this. Again, I don't think in the last year that I have ever heard ISIS even mentioned as a word from the pulpit or during a church service. I've never heard it prayed about. It just hasn't come up. I'd be interested in your situation, whether that has ever come up or whether the whole gender issue has come up. It's like the church is going on, but it doesn't interact with what's happening in the culture, and maybe you can't. But I found by inviting these friends, and now I've said to these friends, would you like to do this on a regular basis? They all say, yes, we want to do it. What kind of topics would you like to talk about? There are all kinds of topics that people struggle with that the church doesn't wrestle with. And I thought to myself, could this be done, say, in a discussion group, which traditionally had been like Sunday school class or something? I don't think it could be. I don't know why the home setting was such that people felt safe. They knew one another. Took a while for that to happen before some people wanted to talk. There were probably two people in the group who never said anything. I don't know what they were thinking. But it became just a very stimulating time. And it all started with somebody said, would you like to be a part of a small group? And I said, no, I really don't want to be. But from that, it moved into me trying to figure out what it was that I did want. And then the Lord, in a very special sense, saying, this could be very good for you. Now, I'll stop talking in a second. My wife said, this is not a new idea, David. She said, you remember Colleen Townsend Evans? She was a Pastor Evans' wife in Washington, D.C. They used to hold these on a regular basis and talk about problems of the world. And she said, I remember Colleen saying, sometimes it takes us months and months before we come to some kind of consensus on a problem. But it feels like at least we are interacting with these difficult things and trying to get our minds around them. So no ideas are new ideas. But I don't think the average pastor has that kind of a setting for him or her to really learn from. And I think also I would go back to a point I made before is the pastor has to learn not to voice his or her own opinion early on because that'll stop the discussion dead in its tracks. Just go as a learning process, especially not only the ideas, but learning where the people are coming from. So to me, it's been a very good thing, and I'm going to continue it.
David, do you think that the average pastor can put himself in that situation where he does not take a dominant role? In other words, he's so used to being seen as the spiritual leader of the congregation. Do you think the average pastor can actually step back and let other people just kind of talk in that free flow fashion?
If you ask me whether he can, the answer is yes, she can as well. If he or she will, that's another question. It's very hard for ministers who are used to talking all the time and being the authority figure to back off and let other people talk. But once you get used to that situation, it's amazing what a quick learning process it is. And that most of the people have very good ideas. They think clearly. They also know how to disagree with somebody and do it in a loving way. So that's probably the key. If you ask me, different individuals say, when I was a young man, the first pastor I worked under, could he do that? No. No way in the world could he do that because he was the authority figure and he used it to what I would say pontificate. That would kill it. And I don't think any of the other people would want to come back to it again. But can it be learned? Yes, it can be learned. Maybe you're in a situation where you say, boy, there's a verse of scripture that would really apply to that. I think I'll say it. Don't say it. Say, any of you think of a verse of scripture that might apply to what we're talking about? So you put everything into questions and you keep saying to yourself, especially when a pause comes, do I have to insert my voice here? No, just wait and we'll see who else talks. Sometimes it starts slowly, but then it picks up steam and it's amazing. And after a while, it's almost like, as the pastor, do I think I could get a word in here if I wanted to? Might be hard. Then you know you've arrived. That's a good thing.
It sounds like this is going to take some practice on the part of most pastors, and also the whole idea that you've expressed of getting off to the right start, where the pastor holds back and lets the other people talk, asks questions, and does not take the central role. That's going to be a very profitable experience.
As a non-clergy, would you talk, Dean, in such a session? You have very strong ideas.
I would want other people to talk first because I realize that I have a very domineering way about me. So I like to try to hang back and let other people speak. There are times when I almost feel compelled to say something, but I think you can overcome that feeling as well and let the other people just talk. And then perhaps when it's appropriate, perhaps when you're nudged by the Holy Spirit say something. But the best thing any leader is to hang back and hear what the other people have to say. We're talking about scheduling a once-a-month How Goes the World session. That can prove very stimulating for a pastor. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found this podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there for pastors and congregations, and we invite you to take full advantage of those resources. And we also invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.